And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your RBLR Rays show. With me once again is Pat Davenport. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing good, and I just want to say sorry to everyone for the UK's crazy traditions, because there are currently fireworks going on all around me at the moment. So if you hear any popping in the background, it's not because I'm by mistake joined the Texas Rangers World Series parade. It's actually just because we've got some weird, weird traditions where we celebrate people blowing up Parliament or getting caught doing that. And that's just a thing that we do. So I apologize in advance for that. But luckily, we've got a very explosive podcast to match.
We do. And if you want to be a part of this explosive podcast and all future explosive podcast experiences that we bring you, you should like and subscribe down there in the description. You'll see links to our social media. You'll see it on the screen right here to come and just be a part of what we're building. We're continuing to build this really, really awesome community here with the other shows on the network, which are all amazing. We're continuing to build something awesome. We're getting very close to 250 subscribers on YouTube. So continue to subscribe to us, continue to join us, continue to be a part of what we're building. And we're going to keep bringing you this, the best Rays podcast on the internet. And in the last week, we have had some Rays news for us to discuss, which is something that we knew was sort of coming. We knew there was some moves to be had. The 6th, this coming Monday, is when the 40-man adjustments have to be made, specifically for bringing guys back off the 60-day IL. So we kind of knew that some moves were going to be made. At least a couple spots had to be cleared up. And the Rays did not waste any time clearing 6 spots to free up some of that roster space. And some of the names that were cleared off that were a bit of a surprise. You know, Raimel Tapia, Cole Sulcer, Tristan Gray were kind of expected, like probably they're not. Probably they're going to be the casualties. But the other three guys, I mean, I guess you could say Jalen Beeks was expected. I mean, I think he was kind of on the outs, so maybe he was expected. The two that I don't think weren't expected were Josh Fleming, who has been a big part of the Rays' pitching plans for the last several years. He's been a big part. He's kind of been a security blanket for the Rays pitching staff. When they needed a couple innings, they kind of went to Josh Fleming. And then they let go of somebody that I don't think anybody saw coming, and that is Christian Bethencourt, the opening day starting catcher for the Rays this last season, let go. Really surprising turn of events, I thought anyway. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I was completely blindsided by that. I mean, Sulcer and Gray, I mean, it's a shame about Tristan Gray. He played one game in the majors and he hit a home run, and then we were like, okay, see you later. But Tapia, yeah, I get it. He was kind of outfield depth and could be shedded for 40-man space. Beeks, we tried and tried with Jalen Beeks, and he just could never quite put it together, so I kind of get it. Salsa, he was depth optioned anyway. I don't know if he saw any major league time with us anyway. If not, an inning or two.
I don't think so. Not much.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, Fleming and Bethencourt. With Fleming, yeah, he was a big part of our back end of our rotation from 2020 onwards, really. And he was solid. He was solid. He kind of lost his way the past year or so. But hopefully he can find a home somewhere else. Hopefully he can find a home back with us. Hopefully we can get him to stay because he's got some nice stuff, a good pitch to contact kind of guy. But Bethencourt, yeah, really, really surprised me. This tells us essentially one thing, and that is Rene Pinto is our guy. Rene Pinto is going to be our starting catcher to open the season. He's going to be our ride or die to start 2024. What worries me about this move, and you can talk about this a little bit, Zach, we don't have any backup now. Bethencourt, even if we are going to make Pinto our starting guy, Bethencourt was this pretty solid backup guy and knew the staff. And now our options are Alex Jackson, who we acquired at the trade deadline this year, or maybe Blake Hunt, who we may add to the 40-man to protect from the Rule 5 in the coming days. How do you feel about the catching situation now that Christian Bethencourt isn't a part of it?
So this is one of those situations where my first instinct was, I don't like this. And then as I sort of sat with it and let it ruminate my mind a little bit, I think I'm okay with it because clearly the Rays are okay with it. And they've been developing Pinto and Hunt for quite a while now. They've been in the system for quite a while now. Pinto for a very long time. And Hunt for, I believe, 2 or 3 years he's been in their system at this point. He was a part of the Blake Snell trade, yes, if I'm remembering this correctly. So he's been with the team for a couple of years now. They know what they're getting into. And they clearly saw something they liked in Alex Jackson when they brought him over. Pam agrees. When they brought him over at the trade deadline. And so they must be very confident in this. And I think at the end of the day, it really speaks the most. The thing that my biggest takeaway from this is the strength that they feel in their analysis of the future of Rene Pinto. They believe very strongly that he has the ability to be a starting catcher, an everyday catcher for a World Series contending team. And I think that's kind of the way that when I think about the way that the Rays do their team moves, and I think about the confidence level I have in the moves, I think about it in the context of this is a team that believes, based on everything we've been told, that they are a World Series contending team. And when you make a move like this, it tells me that their analysis says this guy is good enough to be a starting catcher on a World Series caliber team. And that's very interesting to me because that might not be my analysis. If my analysis would be, he's very good. He's got a lot of potential with the power. I think we could see more of that develop as he gets a little bit older and he gets more consistent at bats, which he now is going to get very consistent at bats. But the Rays clearly feel like that is his destiny, and they want to give him the opportunity to achieve that by essentially removing the only roadblock, which was Bethancourt's existence, basically saying, here you go, kid. Here are the keys to the catching position. Let's see what you got. And I'm okay with that. And certainly the risk of injury exists there. And there is a risk of if he does get hurt, you're going to be in kind of a bad spot. You do have Blake Hunt, who I think would be fine at the major league level if he brought him up. This kind of feeds into something, another opinion of mine, which is that there's about 5-ish elite catchers in Major League Baseball. And the rest of them are kind of the same. You can kind of replace them and they're kind of all, you know, they fit different systems. They have more experience with different pitchers. They may have different strengths and weaknesses, but the overall value they're going to add or subtract from your team by moving them around is kind of, you know, moot. You got your 5 or 6 dudes who are really, really good, and everybody else is just kind of whatever. So I believe that what this says is that they think Pinto is right now just as good as any of those guys who they think are just sort of interchangeable, with the potential maybe to jump into that tier of like 5 or 6-ish dudes that are really, really good catchers. I don't know what that's going to, you know, result in, but at least to me, that's what it seems like the Rays are saying with this move. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. The Rays are clearly very high on Pinto. I am concerned about the injuries though. If 2022 and 2023 have taught us anything, is to, if we plan for someone to be healthy or with the team all year and don't have a backup option, then we're going to get bit by the injury bug. It's Sod's law. It's what's going to happen. And I get concerned thinking if Pinto works out great and he's not had a big injury history, but knowing the Rays and just knowing that he's going to be out there more than ever before on that turf, taking a ton of fastballs, crazy breaking balls, he's going to be jumping all over the place. I'm worried if the worst were to happen, I'm very worried about where we land after that. So do the Rays then go to the market and grab a backup catcher, whether via trade or free agency? The problem is none of those guys are particularly solid. Any catcher that's up for trade for cheap is not going to be particularly worth it. Any catcher that's on the market right now is probably not going to be decent value for money. So I get worried about letting a guy that knows the staff go, because even if he was going to be a backup, he's a guy that we can depend on to be a solid backstop, even if he just catches 30% of the games. I get concerned about why we're taking that kind of gamble when we didn't really need to.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the roster, there were other guys that could have been let go. It's very interesting because you do wonder what the mindset was behind making Bethancourt that guy that you let go And I mean, they must have something, some really strong feelings about Rene Pinto. And that's kind of all it leaves me with, because I agree with what you're saying. It does kind of put them behind the eight ball from an injury perspective. But then it really does kind of lead me to believe that they have some really strong feelings about Rene Pinto, because they've been in their, he's been in their system so long. They may see something that we don't see, and we'll, and I guess we're kind of going to see next year, see what that looks like. It's a bit of a gamble. I think you're right. I think it is a bit of a gamble with what they're doing. And the question, I guess, is going to be, will it be a, was it going to pay off or not? Do you think they hedge their bet a little bit and bring anybody in during this offseason?
I think they'll probably explore the market. It's whether or not they can get a guy for cheap. There are a few backup options out there. You could go with someone like Martin Maldonado, who's a non-existent bat, but is well known to be a really good guy to manage a pitching staff, and is experienced with postseason staff, maybe a bit too experienced with the amount of postseason at-bats he's had. But, you know, someone that I maybe am looking at is Mike Zunino, a guy that we know knows the staff, knows the Rays' way of catching, was an all-star with the Rays in 2021. He has struggled with injuries and didn't do much at all with Cleveland last year when he was making $6 million. So he's going to be going for way cheaper than that this year. It's kind of a rehab deal, a kind of make value again deal. I'm wondering if that's someone that we could hold on to. But really, otherwise, I think whether the Rays sign a new backup catcher or not will really demonstrate how much, how strongly they feel, not just about Rene Pinto, but about Alex Jackson or Blake Hunt as well, because they wouldn't thrust them into a major league job unless they think they're ready. So maybe they think that those guys are ready for that jump as well.
Yeah, and I would be very interested to see. I mean, part of me as well, you know, as we get farther and farther away from the Blake Snell trade, I would like to see Blake Hunt in the major leagues just to kind of, you know, mentally recoup some value from that trade, even though it kind of was a wash. We always knew it wasn't going to be like we would get a whole lot of value out of that trade. It just kind of was what it was. It just needed to happen at the time. But it would make me feel better if Blake Hunt came up and at least got a couple innings and was pretty good. It would make me feel better. So maybe we'll see that this year. I'm excited to see what one of the things that I think giving a guy like Pinto the keys to the room, as it may be, with catcher, is you kind of say, we believe in you. We think you have the ability to be our starting catcher, and we're going to give you the keys here. I am very interested to see what that does to his performance. Will we see him kind of come into his own a little bit with that, you know, confidence boost, or will the pressure get to him? I don't really know which one it'll be, but I'm very interested to see what's going to happen this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see how that catching situation shakes out. And hopefully Pinto's awesome and he taps into that power that he has. And hopefully with a few more reps with the pitching staff, his blocking can improve as well, because his framing and his pop time and his throwing is really good. Now he just needs to be able to block a little bit better. Hopefully with experience, that'll be better.
Yep, I would hope so too. I think I remember we talked about this a couple of times over the last season where it was something that the whole team was struggling with. So maybe this is, you know, and who knows, maybe the fact that he's going to be kind of the only catcher this offseason will get him some extra time with the coaching staff, where they're really going to devote time to, let's say, we're really going to work on this. We're really going to improve this element of your game, because you're the one we're going to be working with. So we shall see. But taking a break from discussing what the future of this organization will be, we're going to take a little bit of time to discuss someone from this past season. We're going to go delve back in to our player analysis as we're kind of recapping the previous season. And our next analysis subject is Randy Arozarena. He is, you know, by far one of the most important players to this team. He is box office. I've said it many times. He has been a spark plug for this team. He's brought a lot to this organization. He is maybe the face of the franchise now that the previous face of the franchise is not available at the moment. I think he's kind of the face of the franchise. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely say so. I don't think there's another Ray that has a whole section of the field dedicated to him. That's for sure.
It's very true. And he had a really nice season last year. He had another 2020 season, 23 home runs, 22 stolen bases, still getting caught stealing a couple too many times with 10. He didn't leave the league this time, which is good because that's what he's done the last couple of years. His OPS is a 789, a little bit low for his standards. I think he'd like to be a little bit farther over that 800 mark. But overall, a really, really good season for him once again. Here's the question that I'd like to ask you, Pat. When we look at his production over this last season, do you think that he can ever be more than what we've seen over an entire season? Do you think he'll ever be able to sort of be what we've seen from him at his best over an entire season? Or do you think what we're getting, which is like a 800-ish OPS 2020 guy, like, do you think he has any potential higher than that? Or do you think we're kind of, this is kind of what he is?
That's a really great question because it's so crazy. From 2021 to 2023, his numbers have been remarkably consistent in terms of the 20 home runs-ish, about 70 to 80 RBIs-ish, 20 stolen bases-ish. Like, it's so interesting that he always seems to put up those kind of numbers, but there are some, like, nice things looking at what's going on. I mean, his walk rate between last year and this year has shot up by 5%, which is an awesome statistic. Randy's getting better at taking his walks, which I love to see. His base running is getting better because last year Fangraphs rated him as minus 4.3 base running value. Now he's in the positives. He's 1.8, plus 1.8. So he's now actually a positive on the bases as opposed to costing the team runs. But I have a conspiracy theory that last year, well, 2022 was a whole kind of social experiment on base running to see like how often things can test it. I thought it was like a data gathering exercise on when and when not to test it. But anyway, that aside, it's interesting with Randy because when he is locked in, he's a top five player in baseball. Like we saw it in April, he was absolutely outstanding. We've seen it whenever he seems to turn up in the playoffs, he's locked in. We saw in the home run derby, he was absolutely locked in and just hitting balls out of the yard, left, right, and center. Can he hold that over a whole season? That's where I'm struggling because when his swing is compact, he's using the whole field. And when he's taking his pitches, he's really so solid. But there was a point in July, August, and the start of September where his swing was getting really, really long and slow to the baseball. It didn't have the kind of short, compact swing with the hands caught close to his body that we're used to seeing from him when his hand when he's locked in. And when he goes to that slow, long swing, he can't catch up to high velocity. He's always in between on timing between breaking balls and fastballs. And he's swinging more often at things because he's trying to get to more pitches with that long swing. And I don't know why, but every year he's went through a phase of 4 to 6 weeks of just having this horrible swing that makes him go into these massive slumps. And whether or not he can avoid that for a whole year is the big question. I think he is capable of more than what he's shown so far, but it's whether or not the hitting coach can keep him from staying out of those bad habits. What do you think about Randy's long-term outlook?
So the way that I was looking at Randy's season, I actually started with my first thought, which was, as I'm looking at what he's going to do in the future, I'm like, man, it felt like maybe he wasn't that good in the second half. That was just kind of my thought. Like maybe he's a second half like guy. And I was like, oh, I need to figure out like, is he a first half only guy? So I took a minute and I went back and I looked at his month by month WRC plus to kind of see, well, is he just really, really good in the first half? And then he's just bad in the second half. And what I found was kind of what I expected and kind of not. So in 2023, his WRC plus is by month starting in April and May and going throughout the season. 168, 151, 136, 36 in July, 148 in August, just awesome, and then 93 in September and October. And what that ended up being is a 144 WRC plus for the first half and a 101 WRC plus for the second half. So it does kind of look like that he's just kind of like a first half guy. But then I actually took some time and I was like, well, let me look back one more season and just see if that keeps up with the previous season. And what I found from last season is not the same thing. Starting again in March and April, 47 WRC plus to start the season, then 145, 103, 136, 197. We all remember his August from last year was exceptional. And then a 97 WRC plus, which led to a 115 WRC plus for the first half and a 137 WRC plus for the second half. So what you seem to have here is some volatility. You have of the 6 months of a season, you have one really bad month in 2022. You had one really bad month, two kind of okay months at 97 and 103, and three really good months. But the interesting thing is when you actually look at, again at this year, you see one really bad month, still the case, one not high kind of league average month, and then four really good months, all over 130 WRC plus. So actually, he was more consistent this year than he was last year from a batting perspective because he only had one average-ish month and then the one really bad month. So it seems like last year, like this year, he kind of got rid of that one other average-ish month and brought it up to a really, really good month. And so then what you look forward into next year, what I would love to see from Randy is you just got to find a way to get rid of that 30, 40 WRC plus month. That's what's killing you. If you take away that 36 WRC, he had about a 122 WRC plus for this season. If you take away that 36 WRC plus month and replace it with like a 97, right? His WRC plus jumps up 12 points to 134. That's a big deal. Like that's like you're talking perennial all-star type of guy that it could jump his war up to like a 4-ish war instead of a 3-ish war guy. So that's holding him back big time right now, is that he just has this one really bad month. And then I thought a little bit more about that. And I was like, what was going on in those months? When you look back at the first month of the 2022 season, we weren't playing that well. He felt the pressure. There were guys that were injured. There were guys that were not available. He felt the pressure to perform and be a part of the success of the team. And when he feels that way, he presses and the swing gets long, exactly what you described so well. The swing gets long. It gets a little bit too loopy. It's not short and compact to the ball. He's trying to do too much. The swing and miss returns and he starts to play poorly. And then the results are not there at all. What happened this last year? It was July. We're trying to get a spark going into the second half. And then the team started to kind of play poorly. And then he again tries to overcompensate and be the hero and plays poorly. So to me, it looks like what is holding him back is just him. I don't know if it's a mentality or a coach, but somebody needs to tell him, hey, stop trying to take the entire team on your back and like do everything yourself, because guess what? If you stop trying to do that, like intentionally, you might be able to do that. Like a 168, 170, 190 WRC plus guy is a guy that can put his team on his back. And that's the kind of potential that he has. But when he is pressing, trying to create that value, he is not successful at it. So somebody just needs to just take him aside and show him these numbers. Hopefully he's showing himself these numbers and saying, hey, don't press. Stop pressing. Stop forcing it. Because Randy can be so selective with his pitches. He can be so patient. He can take his walks. He can wait for the good pitches and put together excellent at bats when he wants to. And when he doesn't want to, he takes really bad swings. He has so much potential to be an elite on base percentage type of guy. For a while, he was like, even in how good of a season Yandy was having, there were times this season where Randy was leading the team in on base percentage because he does have that ability. But the problem is when the team's not doing well, he tends to sort of take that on himself and say, I'm going to be the reason why we succeed. And it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out because he puts too much pressure on himself. So my thing that I want to see coming into this next season, and the answer to your question is, yes, I think he can. I think he can do it. But he just has to take that one step more and eliminate that 30, 40 WRC plus month and bring that up to at least a league average. And now you're talking about a really, really, even as good as he's been, now you're talking about a consistently really, really good player. And I think if you kind of remove those slumps from him, I would even wonder how much farther up he could go. So the answer is yes, I think he can, but it's all coming down to him. It's not he's not really injured. It's not really anything like that. It is just he needs to get out of his own head a little bit. And when he does, he's box office. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's one of the most exciting players in Major League Baseball when he's on. He just has to get out of his own way a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. But with every year, like you said, those slumps are getting a little bit shorter every time.
Yes.
So he's getting more response. He's morphing into more of a team leader as well. You can see him taking more and more kind of responsibility for the team. He's being more responsible with his base running decisions as well. So like all this maturity is happening. So hopefully that's a positive trend that we will continue to see go upwards into 2024. I only have two things about Randy that I want to mention. So in 2022, he started the year really badly. And in 2023, he started the year really well. I think the World Baseball Classic has a lot to say about that. Randy was immediately thrust into a big high-pressure environment with the Mexican team where he was having to play meaningful baseball. And Randy was like, oh, it's the playoffs, essentially. Let me go into playoff Randy mode. And then he got to carry that into the start of the season. And I think Randy does way better when he's playing meaningful baseball than when he's not. And then another question, and this is a question that's been asked since the dawn of the event itself, which is the home run derby. Do you reckon that might have been the cause of that slump in July? Because in July he was awful and he had to basically change his swing for a day to be a home run hitter all the time. Do you reckon that caused the swing to go too long and too power hungry all the time?
I think what caused the swing to go so long and too power hungry all the time was the Braves losing streaks. I don't think the home run derby, like, and maybe like for like a week, maybe for like a week, it affected his swing. But after that, no, I think it was. And I mean, you could, if you wanted to get really tinfoil hat, you could maybe say it affected him for a week. The team played poorly. And then he reacted to that by sort of, you know, playing poorly by doing too much after that. And then which resulted in poor play. So maybe, but I think that's stretching it a little bit. There are eight other guys in the lineup that could have, you know, pick the team up. I think it was just everybody was pressing a little bit too hard, trying to make too much happen all at the same time. And then that's what you got. I don't think the home run derby killed him. I don't think I would never change the fact that he participated in the home run derby, because I think that was a really cool experience for him. It was really fun to watch. I wouldn't change it. I don't think it would have had it and made any difference on the race season. I think it's just kind of one of those things that when somebody just has a bad couple of months, they look for a reason and they want to blame the home run derby because it's an easy thing to blame, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I was just putting it out there. My last point on Randy, and this is the only like real red flag that I see about him, is fielding. Currently this year, he had 10th percentile outs above average with -6 outs above average this year, according to StatCast. And he also had a -3 arm value, which means that he probably should have thrown out 3 more runners than he actually did, which again puts him in 10th percentile. And he had a really damning defensive rating on FanGraphs, which put him as a -10.7 defensive value there. And Randy is a guy that when fielding, I'm going to just say it, as electric as he is on the base paths and at the plate, he plays it super safe as a fielder. He does not go for balls. He will jog to get balls that are going down the line. He won't make any diving attempts. He is very chilled out in the field and doesn't take many risks, which leads to these kind of poor defensive ratings. Do you think there's concern with Randy's defense in left field?
I don't know that there is concern. I think it's just sort of reality that his fielding is not as excellent as you might like it to be. When you look at his sort of athletic talents, you may expect a little bit more from him defensively. He's just not shown that he's that guy. And I it would be something I would love to see from him, to see him improve a little bit defensively. I think he could if he wanted to. I just the question of want to, and I don't know if, again, I don't know if maybe there's somebody who can, you know, have that influence over him during the offseason to say, hey, you're this guy when you're at the plate and on the base paths. We need you to be this guy in the field too. And maybe that's the conversation that Cash has with him during the offseason, because I think it would be a fair one to have. I mean, we all have eyes. We've seen it. We've seen the times when Randy's just kind of loafing it over to the ball. And yeah, we've seen it result in runs in the past. His arm strength is not amazing, which really does not give you a lot of room for error when you're fielding. You need to be in the good positions if your arm strength is not great. You need to be able to kind of set up under the ball so that you can get the most out of the arm that you have. And it really doesn't seem like he's doing that most of the time. There are some really awesome defensive highlights of him from the World Baseball Classic. So again, it really just feels like when he wants to, he can do all these things. And it just is going to be the question of, will he do that over the full season? Does he have the want to be that kind of guy defensively for 162 games? That's a question only he can answer. I would love to see it. I think he has the every capability to do it, and I hope to see it. We just haven't seen it yet, but that doesn't mean he couldn't do it. Again, the concern isn't the right word. It's more like that's just what he is. And yeah. Could he change that? I hope so, but I don't know. I don't really expect him to at this point in his career, but if he did, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I also think Randy really values being out there on the field. And I think most of the time, the reason he takes it chill out on the field is simply because he doesn't want to get hurt. He sees the likes of Jose Siri and Kevin Kiermaier busting it on every single play, taking every single risk, and they can't stay healthy. So he's like, I'm on this turf, which, you know, is harder on your legs than on the grass. And then you've got to just... he's going to take it easy to stay on the field. And he's saying, listen, I would rather give up an extra base or an extra single every now and then to stay on the field, not hurt myself. And that's more valuable to the team than making the occasional diving play. What do you think about that?
I think we should get rid of the turf, first of all. But second of all, I think you're right. I think there definitely is a factor of seeing some of these other guys that have been like mainstays in the Tampa Bay outfield getting hurt consistently. He just doesn't want to be add his name to that list. And that's fair enough. There's not really much you can do about that. Like, it's just kind of is what it is. And I think that all of the benefit that he brings the team is far and away above any of the negative that you may see from him in the field. But you're going to have to take some of those negatives. Just kind of is what it is, I think.
Yeah. And before we move on from Randy, he's due $7 million in ARB this year. He's under team control through the 2026 season. Should the Rays start thinking about an extension for Randy? Is he part of the core that we want to keep around on an extension?
So I think he is part of the core. I actually think this season could have a big hand in whether they do that or not. I think if he has another season that's kind of the same as it's been the last several, I think they're kind of like, you know, he's really good, but if we lose him in 2026, we'll be okay with that. If he can take a step up, take up that one more notch up, I think you get really serious about, extending him, because a guy that has this as his like floor and a ceiling of like whatever he could maybe do next year, that would be a guy you want to keep around. But right now, this looks like his ceiling. Maybe it's, maybe it isn't, but that's all we've seen so far. So if he's going to make the case for himself to get an extension next year, I think is the year to do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I get a bit anxious just knowing that he's a Boris guy. And if he has a really good year this year, he may end up going, I'm worth more than what the Rays are willing to offer on an extension. But also, we've clearly, you know, put him on all the posters, made him the poster child of the franchise now. We've made a whole left field about him. He's worth keeping around just as much on the field, but on the commercial side as well, because I know this is a completely unanalytical take, but us Rays fans sometimes just need a guy that we can go, yay, he's our guy. He's sticking around. We can buy a jersey of his. We can, you know, go buy posters. Because it's hard to get those as a Rays fan, and they don't come around every day. And Randy could very much be that guy. So I would love it if we give him an extension. But I think you're right that maybe we need to see if there's more to come from Randy than just the 2020, like above average hitter, a below average fielder, like three war kind of guy.
Yep, I completely agree. So I'm going to put you on the spot with two questions. First, your grade for him for this last year. And then number two is, what's your one big prediction for him for next year?
Okay, I would grade Randy at a B+. I would give him good, but didn't set the world on fire. If he didn't have that July, he'd be on his way to an A. But yeah, I'd say B+, solid, really helped the team. Did not, you know, shift the landscape of baseball in any way. Was really good, but not outstanding. So I'd give him a B+ for that. And then in terms of a big prediction for his for next year, I'm going to say my prediction for Randy next year is that he cracks the 30 home run mark. What about you?
So I give him a B+ as well. I've been teetering back and forth between B+ and A-, but I really do think that 39 WRC plus month really hurts him. I think if that was like an 80 or a 90, it would be an A-. But that having a month that bad, it's hard for me to give you an A when you basically got an F for a straight month. It's kind of hard for me to give you an A there. So I'm going to give him a B plus. But my biggest prediction for him for next year is that he's gonna not only hit 30 home runs, but he's gonna have 40 steals. And I think he's gonna knock on the door of a 40-40 season. I think he's gonna take all the things he's been putting together. Cause to me, it looks like he's building up. He kind of cut down the one other average month. He's only got one average and a bunch of other above average months, one really bad month. I think he can collect the final Infinity Stone and get rid of that bad month and have six really, really good months of baseball. I think he's got a 30-40 year in him, and I think we're going to see it next year. I think he's going to get down ballot MVP votes. I think he's going to have is he playoff Randy all the time now kind of season, and that's my big prediction. I may be totally wrong. He may have another sort of, you know, whatever-ish season, but I think he's going to have a phenomenal season coming up this next year. And if you want to have a phenomenal wardrobe every single day when you step out of your house, I have a solution for you. And the solution can be found at shop.rblrsports.com, where you can get 10% off everything you buy there for promo code Flappy. And honestly, why wouldn't you do it right now? Because if you really do want to be excellent when you step out, if you want to have a 190 WRC plus outfit, you need to go right now and get yourself a Bring Back the Devil shirt. Pat's been rocking it. It's an excellent shirt. Get you some Lightning merch. Get you some Bucks merch if you really want to. We should have a Trask shirt, a Trask Train shirt maybe in the future. That's I have no intel on that. That's just my personal opinion. We're going to continue to have awesome designs. Go get yourself 10% off with promo code Flappy at shop.rblrsports.com.
You could have more styles than a horse whisperer like Kyle Snyder. That wasn't my best one.
That was good. We're good.
It wasn't as good as the drip as the leaky raise tank. Give me a week. Yep. I'll come up with a better one.
We'll come back to that. Speaking of coming back to things, last week we asked a question, and we're going to kind of come circle back around to it. Remember this guy for we're going to put out another question like we did last week. So be listening, be responding either on Twitter. You can DM me your answer if you want. I don't care. Make a comment on YouTube or comment on YouTube. Tweet us on Twitter. Respond to the post we're going to try to make middle of the week this week to kind of put that question back out in the universe. But the question that we asked last week was, do the Rays have all the pieces necessary to win a World Series? So Pat had kind of a week to sit on it. What are your thoughts?
So too long didn't read. Yes. but real answer is yes, but. And my but is, yes, we have enough tools to win the World Series because to win the World Series, you've got to make the playoffs and hope that your players do well in the short sample size of the playoffs. This postseason was a perfect example of that. The D-backs were three games off winning the World Series, and they weren't that good. They weren't that good. They had 84 wins. Texas are the world champions. They had 90. And, you know, they were playing awful baseball through the month of September, pretty much since mid-August. They dropped the division on the last day of the year. They were not very good, and neither were the Diamondbacks. But do you know what they did do when the playoffs rolled around? They won the games that were in front of them. Yep. And that's the difference between what the Rays are doing and what the Phillies have been doing, for example, where they've been like, all right, the Phillies have been like good, but not like setting the world on fire. But when the playoffs turn up, they go out and do the thing. And the Rays are absolutely good enough to at least make the third wild card spot, which let's say is in the American League, is probably going to be around the 90 win mark. Because it's a bit more cutthroat than the National League in terms of the kind of playoff tier teams. So I would say, do the Rays have enough to make 90 to 93 wins? Yeah, easy, with their eyes closed, assuming they stay healthy, especially. Yeah, they'll make the playoffs. However, there are things that you can do to make the randomness of the playoffs have a greater kind of probability in your favor. And that is by having good playoff caliber starting pitchers, by having three healthy relievers, preferably at least a couple, righties and lefties, and having as many solid bats and dead spots in the lineup as possible, you know, weight the odds in your favor. So while, you know, the Braves got knocked out, they weighted the odds in their favor by having a killer lineup and the kind of rotation that made it a big shock that they went out, right? Because everyone was like, they're really good and have all the top tier players that you would expect to perform. If we rolled up a lineup, say that like the 2015 Rays or 2016 Rays had with Daniel Nava and Grady Sizemore and stuff, you would go, yeah, they could win three out of five games, but it's less likely than if we had Acuna Jr. and Sean Murphy and Austin Riley, right? So the Rays do have enough to make the playoffs, which is all that they need to make the World Series and win it. Do they have the roster construction right now to make it the most likely scenario that in a playoff series they could win? Not quite. And that's partially because of injuries, because of the rotation being, you know, really hurt with injuries. You know, I'd say three of our five best pitchers are injured and we don't have a superstar shortstop that we used to have. And, you know, there's a couple, which leaves a dead zone in the lineup, which is shortstop. And, yeah, so I think there's still ways we could improve this team to make it more likely to win a World Series, but we do have enough to make the playoffs, which is all I care about enough in terms of can we win a World Series. What do you think, Zach?
To me, this question comes down to, are they healthy? Because I think if you just look at the names and the WAR on paper, you just look at this team just as constructed on paper, yes, they have enough talent to win the World Series. When you compare the talent on this team to the talent on the Diamondbacks, you cannot tell me that they could not make it to the World Series, because they absolutely could. The talent exists on the roster. The question is, will all the talent that the Rays accrued over these last several seasons be available to them when they enter the postseason? And I don't know, like, I feel like they cannot continue to have this bad injury luck forever. Maybe they can. Maybe we'll just never have a good season with injuries again. But when you look at the teams that like kind of went the distance and made it happen, the one thing that tends to be consistent with all those teams is they are kind of okay with injuries, either on one side of the ball. Like the Texas Rangers had really bad pitching injuries, but offensively they were kind of good. They kind of had all their guys. And what do you know? They won the World Series. And I think that one of those seasons has got to be coming for the Rays. And I think that's really all they need. They just need everybody who is currently on the roster and in the depth chart to be available in the playoffs. And I think if that actually like happens like one time, I think this team can and will win a World Series. I said they were going to win the World Series this year. I didn't forget that I made that prediction. I still stand by it, because I predicted that with the idea that these guys were going to be healthy. I thought some guys were going to get hurt. I did not think it was going to be as bad as it was. And I certainly didn't think we'd lose one of our most valuable, if not our most valuable hitter, like a week before the playoffs, and lose our, you know, all-world shortstop like 2 months before the playoffs. Definitely didn't think that was going to happen. Could not have seen that one coming. But if you look at this team as currently constructed, and by the way, I'm saying that with assuming that construction does not include the superstar shortstop right now. I'm saying that does not include him. currently constructed, this team has the talent to win the World Series. The question is, will they be healthy when they get to the postseason? And I don't know what the I don't know how to make that happen. And I think the Rays are going to spend their entire offseason trying to figure it out. But they, I think that's the only thing standing in their way. Can they keep everybody healthy going to the postseason? And if they can do it, they have as good a chance as anybody. And I think they 1,000,000% can win a World Series.
2020, that was a year that we were pretty healthy.
What do you know?
And yeah. And 2021, we were mostly healthy. We won 100 games that year. We got some really bad bounces that year. We looked good. We just like lost a couple of coin flip games in Fenway, which sucked. But yeah, this team is still really, really good. And yeah, I think they could sleepwalk to a postseason spot unless we get even more injuries than we had this year. So yeah, can we stay healthy? That's the big question. People keep asking on, you know, who aren't fans of the Rays, they keep questioning if there's something fishy going on with the Rays in terms of pitcher injuries. I don't think there is. I think it's a mix of bad luck and also that we take flyers on guys that have injury history. Is that something that we need to adjust as an organization? I don't know.
No, because if you change the way if you changed your entire organizational philosophy based on a couple of bad outcomes, then why have the philosophy? Because guess what? You've had a lot of really good outcomes. Robert Stevenson, just the most recent example of like a guy they just took a chance on and converted him into like a lockdown reliever. The philosophy works. It generally, when you, even if you talk to players, they agree the philosophy works, even if they do tend to, even if they get injured. But guess what? That's just a symptom of modern pitching right now. Somebody eventually will figure out a way to get around what we're currently experiencing in the pitching injury department. They'll figure it out. We'll look back on this time period as, wow, that was really weird until we had this and now everybody's good now. And they'll figure it out. Some way of, you know, some medicine or some way of stretching or some, you know, adjustment to arm angles or whatever to sort of keep the benefits that we have as well as to prevent injuries. They'll figure something out. They'll get them new equipment. I don't know what it'll be. Somebody will figure something out. But this is the way pitching is now. So there's going to have to be an adjustment to something else to prevent those injuries. And that'll happen eventually. But I wouldn't change the race philosophy.
No, I agree. And the Texas Rangers, the world champions of baseball, are the perfect example. Who did they go out and sign? John Gray, a guy that's been injured a bunch. Nate Eovaldi, a two-time Tommy John guy. Jacob deGrom, maybe the most injured pitcher in baseball. So they were like, let's get some high ceiling health risk guys. And not all of those guys were healthy all year. Jacob deGrom was a guy where they got hurt. Max Scherzer. So they went and got guys that we were like, we can't guarantee that they'll be healthy, but if they're on the field, they'll be really good. And you know what? It was enough to get them all the way to the World Series. So why should the Rays change?
Nope, they should not. And I think that hopefully we'll see their luck change coming into the future. But I mean, I think that's kind of my answer is if they stay healthy, they have 100% chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and so we
go. I was going to say, as kind of a not starting off the year to a great start, leading into the question that we want to ask for this coming week is we have another injury. Yay! Taylor Walls is going in for some surgery. According to what we know, Taylor Walls is going in for surgery. He should be healthy to start the next season. But as far as we know right now, he will be recovering through the offseason and ready to be available for spring training. But if for some reason he's not, if he has a hiccup in his rehab, if he has any issues, the shortstop position could kind of start to look a little thin. So the question is, with Walls in a potentially dangerous spot from an injury perspective, what should the Rays do at shortstop? Should they stand pat with what they have? Should they make a move to add someone somewhere in between, something so like a minor move and standing pat or something major? What do you guys think? What do you think will be what the Rays do to sort of shore up that position? That's our question for you guys this week. You can reply in the YouTube comments. You can DM me your answer. You can reply to the tweet of this episode with your answer. However you'd like to kind of give us your thoughts on this. We'd love to hear from you guys to kind of give us some of your thoughts on this as well. We'd love to continue this conversation throughout the offseason. we appreciate you guys for sticking around and continuing to make this a part of your routine once a week to listen to us talk about the Rays. We love being able to talk about the Rays. So continue to make us a part of your routine. We'd like to be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's one caveat for this question, assume that Wander Franco is not going to be back in time.
Yes.
For that. Let's assume Wander Franco's out the picture for that answer.
Yep. Because unfortunately, that's kind of the way it looks right now. So hopefully, I mean, it would be great if that changed, but that doesn't seem super likely. So with that, everybody, thanks once again for joining us on the RBLR Rays show. Answer that question in the comments of where, however you'd like to do so. Let us know what you think. Join us back again next week. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of this show and continuing to make it the best Rays podcast out there. Rays up. And like, comment, and subscribe as well.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.